Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to IFGL Refractories Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Monarch Networth Capital. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Neha. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, I welcome you all to the Q2 FY25 earnings conference call of IFGL Refractories Limited. We are pleased to have with us management being represented by Mr. Rasu Shanmugam, Director and CEO India, Mr. James McIntosh, the Managing Director, and Mr. Amit Agarwal, the Chief Financial Officer. We'll have the opening remarks from the management followed by a question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to the management now.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on the IFGL Refractories Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. I hope you and your family and friends are in good health and had a great Diwali. Along with me in the call, we have a Director and CEO India, Mr. Rasu Shanmugam, and also we have Mr. Amit Agarwal, our CFO, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. We've uploaded the results of the presentation on the stock exchanges, and I hope everyone's had a chance to go through the same. According to the World Steel Association, global steel demand is expected to decline by 0.9% in 2024. However, after three consecutive years of decline, a broad-based recovery, including China, is anticipated, excluding China, sorry, is anticipated in 2025. Global steel demand is forecast to rebound by 1.2% in 2025, and it's anticipated that there will be moderate demand recovery in the second half of this financial year. The year 2024 has been particularly challenging for global steel demand as the manufacturing sector continues to face significant headwinds. These include declining household purchasing power, aggressive monetary tightening, and escalating geopolitical uncertainties. Additionally, ongoing weaknesses in the housing constructor sector, driven by tight financing conditions and high costs, has further dampened the steel demand. India has, however, solidified its position as the strongest driver of steel demand growth since 2021, a momentum that is set to continue. According to the World Steel Association, India's steel demand is projected to grow by 8% over 2024 and 2025. This growth is fueled by strong performance across all steel-consuming sectors, particularly driven by sustained infrastructure investments. India's robust infrastructure development underscores its pivotal role in the global steel market, positioning the country as a key growth engine for the foreseeable future. Over the past two-plus years, we've witnessed consistent growth in our Indian businesses, and this momentum has continued in the current quarter. For the half-year, we achieved a 15% year-on-year growth. I'm pleased to share that our standalone domestic market now stands at 69%, up from 61% of its total revenue in the same period last year. We've grown by 30% year after year for the last 3 years on the domestic side. On the development front, I'm pleased to announce that we have entered into a joint venture agreement with Marvel's international group of Seychelles and Marvel Refractories of the People's Republic of China. This joint venture will establish a limited liability company in India to set up a greenfield facility with a capital outlay of approximately 300 crores. The facility will focus on manufacturing products for the cement, glass, non-ferrous, and gasification industries, further strengthening IFGL's portfolio and enhancing our capabilities in these key sectors. Rasu will cover this in more detail in his conversation. I am pleased to share that we've completed the payment of the Odisha land to the government entity and is expected to receive possession shortly. Additionally, our U.S. subsidiary, EI Ceramics, has acquired a building in Ohio for development of a state-of-the-art ISO plant, which will give us an uplift in capacity of 40% when complete. These developments continue our focus in strengthening our global footprint and operational capabilities. Now I'm pleased to hand over to Horacio.
Thank you, Jim. Good evening, everyone. This quarter proved to be particularly challenging for us as our overseas businesses faced economic pressure, slowdowns, and geopolitical uncertainties. However, we anticipate some moderation in these challenges during the second half of the year, and the demand with a moderate revival in demand from EU and the U.S. Our financial performance was also impacted by another factor: the preventive restructuring undertaken by a major customer, Liberty Ostrava, who had significantly contributed to the last year's revenue, and some competition pressures also. Despite these headwinds, we remain focused on navigating these difficulties and are optimistic about improving conditions in the coming quarters. As you all are aware, we have been expanding into the non-ferrous sector to diversify our business, add value for our customers, and tap into new markets. We are proud to announce the inauguration of our state-of-the-art casting flux granules production unit in Visakhapatnam, which boasts an impressive annual capacity of 18,000 metric tons. Additionally, we have launched a new magnesia carbon production line as part of our phase three expansion. As we continue to advance our strategy in the non-ferrous segment, I am pleased to announce a significant new step in our journey. As Jim mentioned earlier, we are establishing a joint venture in India with Marvel's International Group Company of Seychelles and Marvel Refractory and Shunt Company of China, aimed at enhancing our brick production capabilities in the country. Let me share some key highlights of this exciting development. The JV will set up a greenfield facility in India to manufacture high-quality products, including basic fired magnesite spindle brick, basic fired magnesite bricks, and fired magnesia chrome bricks. The estimated project cost is rupees 300 crore, with plans to begin trial and commercial production by March 2026. We are committed to maintaining a balanced debt-to-equity ratio for the JV, which will not exceed 1:1. IFGL Refractories will hold a 51% stake in the JV, while Marvel International Group Company will hold 49%. This partnership is a significant milestone in IFGL's journey as it marks our strategic expansion into the non-ferrous sector while building on our legacy of over four decades of leadership in the ferrous segment. By establishing a local plant in India, we are set to bring more Make in India opportunities to the refractories industry, particularly for the cement sector, which has historically relied on imports. Let me give you some highlights on the operations side. I am pleased to share that our domestic businesses demonstrated strong growth with a 15% increase in Q2 FY25, despite facing challenges such as shutdown at some major clients' facilities. This is a significant achievement for us, reflecting the hard work and dedication we have put into expanding our presence and penetration in the domestic market. The economic environment marked by inflationary pressures, supply chain disruptions, and fluctuating demand has had a direct impact on their ability to achieve the growth levels we anticipated. Despite these challenges, we remain committed to supporting our subsidiaries through these tough times. We are actively reassessing our strategies in this market into better aligned with evolving conditions and ensure we remain competitive moving forward. With this, now I hand over to Mr. Amit Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer, for financial performance.
Thank you, sir. Let me just give you a brief on our financial, starting with the standalone financial highlights. Total income saw a decline by 2% year-on-year to Rs. 257 crore in quarter 2 FY25. For H1 FY25, total income stood at Rs. 506 crore, which saw an increase of 2% year-on-year basis. EBITDA stood at 33 crore for the quarter 2 FY25 and for half year ended it was 78. EBITDA margin stood at 13% in quarter 2 FY25 and for H1 FY25 it was 15%. PAT was at 13.7 crore in quarter 2 FY25 and for H1 FY25 it was at 35.7 crores. Let me now move forward to consolidated financial highlights. Our consolidated financial highlight also include our international subsidiaries. Total income saw a decline by 10% year-on-year to Rs. 415 crore in quarter 2 FY25. For H1 FY25, total income stood at Rs. 837 crore, which was down by 6% year-on-year. EBITDA stood at Rs. 37 crore for the quarter 2 FY25 and for half year it was at 90 crore. EBITDA margin stood at 9% in quarter 2 FY25 and for H1 FY25 it was 11%. PAT was at Rs. 12 crore in quarter 2 FY25 and for H1 FY25 it was at 37 crore. With respect to the liquidity position, we remain net debt free with a strong balance sheet. Cash and cash equivalents stood at Rs. 183 crore on consolidated basis as on September 24. Our annualized ROC stood at 9.3% and our annualized ROE stood at 6.3%. With this, I shall now leave the floor open for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So firstly, if you could explain the rationale behind, you know, kind of going ahead with the DBM bricks over continuous casting refractories, and also is the capex amount still at 150 crores or has there been any change in that? And related question, if you could give some details or some color on the market size of the DBM bricks and who are the competitors in India? Yeah, that was my first question.
Yeah, I mean, Harsh, one is that, you know, why not ISO and, you know, DBM break? Let me tell you, on ISO part first, we have a combined capacity of 80,000 pieces a year, roughly, okay? And we do see that this will be sufficient till next coming 5 years when we are going to utilize for both domestic and export put together. The most modern plant what we have created in Kandla has 50,000, and we have also found out ways and means of using this most modern plant to deliver better value to domestic customers from Kandla. In combination with the supplies from Rourkela for a particular, sort of products which will also add value to customer as well as our capacity utilization. And going for one more ISO now will not, you know, make big sense as far as capacity utilization is concerned. Okay. And so that's the reason why we have changed the thought process. And on the BRICS, what we are talking about is also like conventionally we were limited to steel sector of entire market, but now we are broadening it to iron and steel as well as non-steel market. So these BRICS will be used predominantly in non-steel sectors as well as some of the steel plant where the BRICS part we were not there. Okay. And as far as competition is concerned, yes, here the competition will be the existing competitions only, like RHI and PRL Kurosaki, but otherwise there is no much competition.
Okay, and on the CAPEX, it would be somewhere around 150 odd crores or?
No, right now we are envisaging the same. There is no change in investment level and all. Within that only it will come. And as we go down maybe a year later, so if there are any you know, slight modifications to that, we will keep you all informed.
Got it. And if I have to say compare the margin profile of DBM brick vis-a-vis the continuous casting, how would you kind of assess that? Is it similar, better, or a bit dumber?
And I can say that our overall, you know, our overall guidance of 15% EBITDA for the whole, this is also will be, you know, after this project implementation also will be in the same level and there won't be any up or down.
Is it safe to assume then that it would be in double digits?
Definitely in double digits.
Okay, so when you say 15%, that would be on standalone basis, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Secondly, on the JV that you have entered recently, you know, if you could give some sort of, you know, specific as to what is the market size of those bricks that we are going to, you know, kind of produce, and if you can give some color on the asset turn that can be expected, it would be great, helpful.
See, once when the detailed DPR is under preparation, so I think coming next calls we will have even more detail. But otherwise, on asset side and other thing, it's the regular you know, from mixing to pressing to drying to firing and sorting. So these are going to be the process. What differentiates is the technology, which gives us edge for becoming one of the key players in the industrial sectors with this plant.
Okay, but any color on the market size, please?
Color on the market size, I mean, size is, yeah, I mean, it's like particularly the industrial market segment where I would say that it's kind of, if I have to put a number, so it's around, let's say, we are going to, particularly on cement alone, this particular sector will consume around 500 crore worth of, you know, this similar product in an year. And there will be another 150 crore in other non-ferrous and glass. So overall, it is around 650 crore market where the number of players are limited to 2 or 3 max.
Okay, so basically it is more of an import substitution kind of opportunity.
You are right.
Okay, and also on the DBM bricks, if you could highlight the market size for that also.
I think that we will come out with, you know, we'll let you know in the next, you know, call, because we are still working and we'll come back.
Okay. Thirdly, on the contribution, if you could highlight what was it from the new casting plugs and the Magnesia Carbon Brakes for this quarter?
So this quarter is primarily on entry stabilization, all those. So actual supplies volume will take place in Q4.
In Q4, okay.
Yeah.
And what, if you could quantify the impact of the freight cost in the other expenses?
See, I could only tell that, it has increased from last year H1 substantially.
No, so that we also know. Why I ask this question is because the EBITDA margin for the standalone operations, what we had guided for, say, of 15%, is not kind of achieved even in this quarter. So I just wanted to know what is the incremental impact of the.
I don't want to go into the macro details. At guidance level, we'll maintain the same guidance.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get back in the queue. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Aditi Swan from ADM. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. So just wanted to take an update on the acquisition. That we were looking at a few acquisitions. So any update on that front and what size it would be if we plan to go ahead? And are we on that front, it will be in India or overseas?
We do not have any. Yeah, Jim, please go ahead.
No, no. I was just going to say yes, that we do have an acquisition that is currently under review, and it is in India. But with regard to details, I wouldn't like to share any other details at the moment.
Sure. No issues, sir. Just last question that on the domestic business has relatively seen good growth. So what will be the, I mean, what will be the strategies around this business going forward?
Really, the strategy set, Arasu can cover, but I mean, in general terms, our focus on Indian growth has been based around technology development and new product development, and it's been very successful. Arasu, I mean, you might want to put more detail on that.
Yes. So in domestic business, particularly on brakes, as what the question was asked by the previous caller also, this actually we are getting very good early market indications, which will get consolidated when we land into Q4. And the next year, it will have a substantial portion of our budget also. So brake business is one. Another one is the ramping up of casting plugs. So both, we have particularly on the casting plugs, we have put a good team, which was not there earlier. So both casting plugs and this Magnesia Carbon Brakes, they are going to make a big difference on our domestic business growth, in addition to our venture into industrial, which is totally a new one. So all put together is going to make our domestic strategy even more stronger in coming quarters.
Got it. Thank you so much for the detailed answer and all the best for the upcoming quarter.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mehta from Nexa Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are very much.
Yes. So, sir, firstly, just wanted to get your thoughts on how you are seeing the export business evolve in the coming times and what strategies or what plans are we implementing or initiatives are we undertaking to drive growth in the export business?
Yeah, we have a on the certainly from the point of view of overseas business, this would include also the subsidiary companies. I mean, on the export side, Arasu could maybe cover that from the point of view of the standalone. But on the subsidiary side, we have a you know, very difficult situation. You know, I mean, if you look at many of our steel markets overseas, the percentages are quite substantially down. You know, the North American market, for example, is about 3.9% down so far this year from last year. We have the European business with no growth, and you know, so there's definitely headwinds there. But our focus has been to really try to work still to improve our plants to be ready for the you know, the future growth which we expect. As we said, I mean, the World Steel Association sees 2025 as coming back into growth for many of these areas. And you know, for us, you know, we think that obviously, you know, there's been a major election in the U.S., which is now over, and hopefully this will enable the U.S. to take a more positive stance on steel growth. And you know, hopefully, we will see some changes in the geopolitical situation worldwide, which will help us in other areas. So subsidiary-wise, we still feel that we have another quarter at least of let's say depressed figures, but then we hope to see some changes from there.
Sure, sir. Secondly, can you just throw some color on the new JV with the Marvel International Group? You know, how will this benefit our business in terms of, you know, the synergies or anything? And as it is a greenfield project, where are we planning to set up the facility?
Yeah, see, I think on JV part, we have already answered in the previous question, but the one specific question what you are asking is about the location of the plant. One, it is going to be a greenfield project. Two,
right,
it will be in the northwest region of our country, where most of the modern cement plants are coming up with very high throughput, like in excess of 8,000 to 9,000 ton per day kind of cement, which will require this specific breaks, which are primarily met through import, which we will substitute, and this will be in northwest.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much for answering my question.
Thank you so much.
Best of luck. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity. My first question was, what can be the optimum revenues from the Magnesia Bricks and Mold Flux products?
No, yeah, I mean, you know, it's like both when we are reaching 100, let's say 90%, 95%, both bricks and casting flux, it should be anywhere between 300 to 350 crores. Both put together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Secondly, would you be able to quantify the loss in volumes or the loss in, say, absolute revenue terms, which happened due to the Liberty shutdown? I mean, what could have been the incremental revenues we could have done if the shutdown was not present?
I think if you go to our, you know, December 23 results, we have mentioned around 38-39 crores of provision we have taken. So something about 30-35 crore of, you know, revenue we have lost this year. We have not done any business with Liberty.
Oh, okay.
The ballpark.
Oh, it's the same one. Okay. And thirdly, are we seeing any RM cost pressure, especially with respect to alumina cost? Because some of the peers alluded to that. So,
there is a rise in alumina price, no doubt about it.
Okay. And in the second half, can you, if not name, if tell us which, I mean, a couple of plants where these are new plants which are getting commissioned, are we present over there and will we see a recovery in the volumes due to these new capacities?
Yeah, sorry. Where's the
question? They're not clear, please.
So I was saying that some of these new steel capacities in India have got delayed. So are we present over there and will that lead to recovery in volumes in the second half?
Which capacities, can you just throw light? Because, I mean, based on the, you mean to say that our projection for expected increase in capacity is still not happening or...
So, like Tata Steel has a new plant, the expansion coming up. So would that help us? That's what I'm trying to understand.
As far as Tata Steel business is concerned, yes, we have a great potential, and then we have even reorganized our structure in such a manner that we also, leverage Tata Steel growth for our business. So definitely our ways and our approach towards Tata Steel has also strengthened, and this is going to help us.
Sure. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Aryan Sharma from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good evening. So single question, just to add on to the previous participant. Could you share the impact of various raw material costs like magnesite, alumina, etc.? Like we are seeing these costs move upwards unanticipatedly, and these for the past on the lag, like it is affecting our realizations. Also, there's a double whammy from lower realizations and higher costs impacting our margins. So could you share the impact during the quarter and outlook for the rest of the year? That would be helpful. Thank you, sir.
See, the numbers, are overall, you have seen the result. That's a result of exactly the two impacts what you said on from both sides. On the realization side, we all know India have become last quarter a net importer of steel. And that will put a lot of, stress on some of the medium-sized steel people, we have throttled down their production because they couldn't make, as well as the large player also, reduced that, production. So they put a lot of pressure on refractory vendors for reducing price. And overall, I would say that, there is a 7 to 8, 9% net realization reduction from steel customer, which has predominant customers for most of the refractory business. That has reduced. That had a big impact on market. On the other side, both alumina as magnesia price increased also, because there again the large vendors, very big people, international vendors, they have also increased their price. Both sides, because they have got a very clear, index with which they move their prices, LME. LME is jumping like what Mr. Agarwal has mentioned, like the alumina index, which increased from somewhere between 350 to 60. Now it is already crossed 600 and going towards 650, more than double. So they have a formula of, markup price over this. So both sides, we were compressed. And conventionally in the refractory, passing on takes place after 4 to 5 months
or even 2 quarters constant effort to customer. And that has not happened. We are only hoping and we are fighting with various customers to do that. We hope that some respite, some relief may come in the middle of Q4 or next year only when, you know, the passing. So the lag period of passing on to customer is almost 5 to 6 months, and that's unfortunate reality in refractories. Okay. So both have definitely impacted our margin. You are right.
Okay, sir. So are we still maintaining the 15% guidance despite this change or lower realization, higher margin? So are we still maintaining that 15%?
Yeah, yeah. Overall, we are, because, you know, it's a total, like some kind of a new area which we are entering. So we need to do something to maintain that. So that's what we are expecting on standalone basis.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Got it. That's all.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mayank Bhandari from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. My first question is on the competitive scenario. I just want to understand how is the competitive scenario in the flow control segment, in the brick segment, because we have seen commentary from a competitor that bricks is a highly competitive, Chinese competition has increased significantly in that segment. So how is this in the flow control segment? And secondly, is there any Chinese player who has become dominant in the last 1 year in the Indian market and a grab share in larger clients like Tata Steel or JSW?
Yeah, see, there are some players, you know, particularly China, one or two, but the more and more now customers are looking into a supplier, you know, partner, refractory partner who can provide service over a little longer value chain throughout, so that it becomes seamless in, you know, producing, I mean, managing their refractory. So in that way, there are pressure on price, but as I was mentioning, end of the year, you know, maintaining our margin and other things, yes, we have our ways and means of managing this challenge, but there are challenges.
Okay. Sir, for the first half of the year, can you give subsidiary-wise financials, Monocon?
I think this is for a segment of consolidated, you'll get an idea. Otherwise, we are not disclosing this company-wise number separately.
Okay. And so how is the business in the Sheffield or refractories, at least if you can give some idea?
Sheffield, I think, is doing the same way they were doing in last couple of quarters. The sales they are maintaining as in quarter one. And obviously there is a dip in profit as compared with last quarter because of the geopolitical and economic scenario.
Okay. And we have plans of bringing some of the products from the overseas market to the Indian market before. I'm just wondering how is that thing going on?
Yeah, so we definitely have plans because, you know, Sheffield has technology which are cutting edge in, you know, in nature for Indian market. And please wait for at least 3 months, so you will come to know the kind of action what we are taking in leveraging that technology for Indian market. We have already taken steps. There are preparations going on, and particularly in monolithics and you know, technology we are bringing.
I think let's the next call after the Q3, we will give you even more details. But we are doing that and we are leveraging, and there are time-bound action plans already in place.
And lastly, sir, we had mentioned about some acquisition we are going to do in overseas as well as in the Indian market.
We were mentioning about, yes, we are open for growth both organically and inorganically. Organic path, we have already, it's very clear. We have already announced, declared that JV plant is coming up. Orissa, we are also building. So all those. And in the same manner, inorganic, you know the sensitivities related to inorganic. Till the time we reach to a sensitivity stage, sharing any details will not be appropriate. But otherwise, we are open for both.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsha from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. One question regarding the new greenfield at the Odisha location. So you did mention in the opening commentary that we have not yet received the land. So do you expect the commercial production to start in FY27, or there could be some delays on that front also?
It will be definitely in FY27, maybe in the latter part.
Okay. Secondly, if you could give some color as to what percentage of our standalone revenue, is getting contributed from TRM?
No, we don't. What do you mean by TRM?
Total defect management, and meaning all these services.
Oh, so that's, as I was mentioning, like the entire market, particularly in steel sector, is converting into, this TRM mode slowly, which was only limited to ladle, tundish, slide gate, all those area. But they are extending that on both sides of the value chain from that point. So that means even it is going up to iron from starting from blast furnace, and this side even up going up to the, re-rolling and even walking beam furnaces. So this is going to, increase. So more and more, if you go in future, the all refractory players, including IFGL, who are in steel, will the out of steel business at least in excess of 65% to 70% will come from DRM model only. That's what the future, and it is evolving.
So currently, what exactly it is, if it is in future 60-65?
That numbers, like in the total, maybe I can put a ballpark here of 35% to 40%.
Okay, got it. And also, if we have an outlook of 3 to 5 years, where do you see the non-ferrous contribution to the overall revenue in terms of percentage ballpark would be fine?
As I said, we expect our maturity in this market in coming 3 to 5 year time. So in that, if you say it's something like, ballpark number, if I have to give, 1 minute. So this will have a share in top line of close to 15 to 17% as of now, but it may change and increase.
Okay. Okay. And also, since we have to look the H2 of this year within the standalone operation of the products which are made and sold in India. So can we expect, considering that certain capacities are coming up, that our H2 growth vis-a-vis H1 within the standalone operation could be, say, somewhere around 15%, or if you could give some color on that?
You are talking about the H1 of FY25 versus H2 of FY25?
Yeah.
Because we definitely have a plan of gaining some of the losses of in H1 in H2,
But yeah, I mean, exact numbers, I mean, we can't, but definitely we have a plan of, you know, making up some of the misses in the H1 to be made in the H2. The H2 will be definitely larger than H1. H2 will be better than H1.
Yeah, so meaning what I was trying to get was, is there a double-digit growth that is possible?
I can't say exactly because, you know, let it all depends on, you know, we'll come to have some idea about, you know, end of Q3 because as you mentioned, as we mentioned in the beginning, our brick and casting flux both are expected to grow in the Q4. So, but definitely a decent growth between H1 and H2 of this year, definitely.
Okay. And anything on the recovery from the client for which we had made a provision, meaning I think 2 calls back, you all had mentioned that the recovery may start in a year or so. So any update on that in terms of recovery from that client for which we had made a provision?
As of no amount of recovery to be mentioned because and it has no impact on our books also as we provided 100%. If we get something, we'll update.
Okay. And lastly, on the cost that we had incurred from Q4 of FY24 with respect to appointing Deloitte for the whatever HR transformative initiatives that you took, is that cost still reflecting in our other expenses?
Yeah.
So how long is the contract for?
This year, full it will be there.
No, so next year onwards?
It will not be there.
Okay, so it was a 1 year. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sahil Sanghvi for closing comments.
Yeah, just want to thank the management to patiently and elaborately answering all the questions. And also want to thank the participants on behalf of Monarch Network Capital to participate in the call. The management, do you want to give any closing remarks, please?
Yeah, I mean, I hope, you know, we have been able to answer most of your queries and we look forward to your participation in the next call. For any queries, you may contact SGA, our investor relations advisor. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Monarch Network Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.